In 2010, a group of Marines known as the Dark Horse Battalion began a 7-month tour of duty in Helmand Province, Afghanistan. The battalion suffered the highest casualty rate of any other Marine unit in the 20-year war. When they returned home, NPR correspondent Tom Bowman reported a series of stories tracking the fierce toll the war took on the men and their families. He met people like Ashley Tawney, who remembered hearing the news that her husband Ian had died when a chaplain showed up at her door.
That's when it hit me, and I just covered my face with my hands and was like, oh my God, and there's no goodbye, and there's no nothing.
Tom also introduced us to Lance Corporal Jake Romo, who survived the deployment but lost both of his legs when he stepped on an IED. More than a decade later, the war is over. On this day, a year ago, U.S. troops left Kabul for good. Of course, the legacy is impossible to erase. Joining us now, NPR's Tom Bowman and Jake Romo, who is a minister in Memphis. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Good to be with you, Peter.
And Tom, I want to see if you can take us back to this moment in 2010 when the Dark Horse Battalion was suffering just unthinkable losses. What was happening in the war at that time?
Well, the Marines took over from the British, who never really pushed into this sort of area. It's heavy brush, heavy greenery. As a result, the Taliban was able to just sort of pepper that whole area with roadside bombs. So the Marines were sent in to basically clear that whole area. And that's where Jake and his fellow Marines went in. And it was horrific. They suffered the highest casualty rate of any Marine unit during the entire war. 25 dead, a couple of hundred, I think, wounded. And of those, 22 double amputees, including Jake.
Wow. Jake, did you realize what you were getting into? I mean, what do you remember?
Well, no. We couldn't have known that. You know, when your commander says, oh, this is going to be a tough fight, I think of all the hard fights that the Marine Corps had throughout time. That's kind of where I was thinking was like, well, this is surely not more difficult than some of the situations my grandfather saw in Vietnam. So in my mind, he came back from that. I'm not that worried about it.
Yeah. Well, you did come back, but not before you were horribly injured. Would you mind telling us about what happened on that day?
Okay. February 2011, we were sent out on a patrol. It was a really bad thunderstorm. We had a really crappy day. We walked around all day, and we had actually just made the decision to, okay, we're going like 10 more feet, and then we're going home. Because if something's going to happen, it would have been a while ago. And so we're walking up next to a particular compound, and even though I'm used to looking where I put my feet, and I did, part of our job was to find improvised explosive devices. So I say, hey, I found one. So, yeah, I stepped on an improvised explosive device. My guys did exactly what they were supposed to do. I think we had some trouble getting a medevac because the weather was so bad. But they patched me up, got me on a helicopter, and the Brits and American healthcare system got me back home. So.
And if I could just add, Peter, you know, the battalion commander, Jason Morris, who's now a general, by the way, told me he heard a whoomp, 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 and he thought his Marines were taking mortar fire. But it turns out it was Marines stepping on roadside bombs one after another.
Wow. And it's been, 11 years, Jake, since that day? I mean, what have those 11 years been like for you? What's the recovery been like?
You know, I have to say that I'm particularly blessed because people look at me and it's bad because I lost both of my legs above the knee. My hands damaged. I have some hearing loss. But I had no internal injuries. I had no psychological injuries. I am now in a wheelchair. However, plenty of guys had it far worse off than I did. Severe burns, internal shrapnel, severe psychological scars. Brain damage. I mean, the worst of the medical trauma list is exemplified in 3-5's casualties.
Yeah. Well, and I hear that. Yeah, for sure. And I'm respectful of that too. But, you know, I saw a video of you talking about how difficult it was to get around the house, to play with your kids, to sort of get accustomed to your life after the war. And as you say, not as bad as some of your colleagues there. But how has it changed the course of your life?
Oh, I mean, 100% not what I expected, but that's not a bad thing. You know, I wanted to head off into the more obscure areas of the defense industry.
After the war.
Afterward, yes. You know, I considered law enforcement and a number of other things. But seeing now how much trouble families have with the lifestyle long term, and now with a perspective of deep time, I am infinitely grateful that I had circumstances, whatever they were, that prevented me from going down that path, because my family is infinitely more important to me than what I want to do for a living. So there's no way I would have found out that I would go into full-time ministry if I had not gotten hurt.
So August 30th, 2021, U.S. troops are now officially out of Afghanistan. What were you thinking on that day a year ago? How did you feel?
Mildly annoyed. You know, I certainly would have done things very differently. I was concerned for a certain few individuals that I know may have been in a bad spot getting out of the country. A couple contractors I know, an interpreter or two. So, you know, I checked on my people the best I could. I can't do anything about the rest of it, but the obligation to maintain U.S. personnel safety and control of assets that we literally own, I mean, that's an obligation. That obligation was not met.
Well, I know there are some vets who will look at their service in Afghanistan and say, a year later, like, what in the world were we doing there? There were so many American lives lost. Even more Afghan lives were destroyed. And then, of course, there are others who are going to say it was worth it. The sacrifice was worth it. We were doing our job. So in retrospect, a year after U.S. troops have left, where do you land on that question?
Well, I talked to some of my guys when all this happened, because, you know, a few of them were really mad. And I can understand that. And I think part of that stems from it being unclear, maybe to the troops level, the guys on the ground. We're not intimately connected to geopolitical strategy, and we accept that. But our personal care was the people around us, the locals that we were trying to help while we were there. And the question was, well, did we help them while we were there? Yeah. And yes, that was my concern.
Yeah. Tom Bowman, you've watched this war unfold for years. You were there for a time, and I know you've also kept in touch with some of the people that you've met over the years. What have you been hearing about that question, about whether it was worth it?
Oh, you hear mixed views about that. Did the U.S. try to do way too much nation building, for example? Maybe the U.S. should have had a smaller troop presence, train some of the Afghan troops, offer some projects here and there, digging wells and so forth. And also, there are some who said after the Taliban was defeated, maybe you should have reached out to the Taliban, brought some in who respect the Constitution. There are a lot of questions about could it have been done better? And I don't know if we'll know the answer to that.
Well, there's also the question of what happened to all the men and women who served in Afghanistan and then came home. I mean, there was 2,400 Americans died. Thousands more died by suicide. This is something that Jake mentioned several times. So many people just absolutely traumatized and scarred by this war.
Absolutely. And Jake, too, you know, he was seriously wounded, and a lot of his friends were. And as he said, you know, a lot of people have these invisible wounds of war that they'll deal with for the rest of their lives. That's the other human toll, not only on the service members, the Marines and the soldiers that I spend time with, but also their family members. This affects a huge number of people in this country.
Well, you know, just what you said, you know, you said that we lost all of these people over there and then we just pulled out. But what does that mean? If you ask most guys who are in a unit right now, why do you do what you do? And the number one reason, and it should be the number one reason, is that this is about the guy to the left and the right of me. My job is to keep him safe. If that really is true, then you did your job. Everything else is not your problem as an individual soldier. It can't be. And, you know, guys come back and they try to put it in a place and theorize about what it should have been. And then you're going to blame yourself for not accomplishing the mission. And that's not true. It's just not true.
Marine veteran Jake Romo and NPR's Tom Bowman, thank you both so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you.